superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Let's get out of
here. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's football. Let's make a play.
Heat it up, D.
You fight your way out of it.
We're 19.
This is going to be 10. 5.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
We America's heartbeat.
Earlier on the show, Indianapolis Colts defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. Still to come from NBC Sports, Peter King, Los Angeles Rams general manager Les Snead. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of our program is on the air from our Los Angeles studios. First of my my double dip, my two-a-day here on this kickoff Thursday. I am pleased to be here in hour two of this show. We had DeForest Buckner of the Colts on in hour number one. Peter King will be calling in, our colleague from NBC Sports, in about 20 minutes' time to talk about tonight's kickoff between the Texans and the Chiefs. We'll have our first game prediction coming up in hour number three. We'll also have our Super Bowl predictions. Mine was supposed to be announced on Tuesday night on the NFL Game Day season preview program, but Michael Irvin went last amongst all three at-home analysts, and he took up the last 40 seconds of the show.
Shocking.
So I thought an extra 2 days about it, and I stuck with it. I didn't change it, and it's coming up later on in hour number three. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots.
Rich.
My
my
colleagues, buddy, across the aisle right there, my audio executive.
What do you say?
I'm excited to be here. Are you working Fox this weekend?
Yes.
So how is that going to be looking? Are you doing a game literally from...
No, I'm actually, I do my pregame. I'm just doing the pregame.
You're just doing the pregame.
And game breaks, yeah. So, yes.
And are all the guys in studio, all of them, they're all going to be there or not all of them?
I don't think everybody will be there.
Okay.
I don't know that. I don't know all those.
You don't know? Kind of... You have no idea at all? Are you BSing or you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Is this Fight Club? Am I trying?
It's
you're not
Fight
supposed
Club.
To. Okay, I'm not supposed
yeah,
to.
Oh,
okay. You can just basically say, I can't talk about it.
I mean, I'm not at liberty to speak on behalf of the.
All right.
But it's pretty crazy. It's going to be cool. I talked to the guys that do the stadium.
Yes.
In-house stadium. I talked to one of the guys that's doing the sound.
Okay.
It's the enhanced crowds at 70 to 75 decibels. Which will be monitored.
Yes, it will. The NFL is going to monitor it during the week to make sure nobody put it up to 80 decibels
exactly.
or 85 decibels.
It's going to be pretty
oh
cool.
Oh, my God. The things
so that's what the players
be.
Are going to hear on the field.
Yes,
yes.
Hear,
and it'll be the real
also,
crowd from the
yeah,
actual
NFL
stadium.
Films has come up with team-specific...
Chants and all.
...noise tapes.
Yeah.
...to be played. I know I'm a 51-year-old man. He used the word tapes... Like they're going to pop open one of those
the carts. Like,
you know, yeah. No.
Well,
no, actually, what I was thinking was one of those like cassette recorders that I used to walk around with that you'd hit play and record at the
right.
same time.
Boom
yep.
Box.
But they have every like sounds chance. Like if you're in Seattle,
right.
you're going to hear 12s chanting.
Correct.
Which is
like
cool
you're gonna
for
be,
like if,
right, and then the Arrowhead tonight
Arrowhead,
you'll hear
you'll get,
right. You know, I'm just wondering because you know if they will do. For an incomplete pass in Denver, you know.
Oh, they have boos and everything.
No. Oh. In Denver, oh. when they say the pass by, let's just say, let's just choose the 1998 AFC Championship game. The pass by Vinny Testaverde is, and then the crowd goes, in, come, please.
And that's another first down.
I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, tune in tonight, man.
I don't know.
The home of the Chiefs. But there's going to be actual fans there tonight.
There will be. There'll be 17,000.
They'll be counted right. in that decibel count,
yeah,
just so everybody knows.
Like they will be counted.
Yes. It's like an AT&T where Dallas is. Everyone's like, oh, they have an advantage. They're going to have 20% or whatever that place. it'll still be 70, 75. They're not going to
I mean, you can't tell fans to keep it down, though. Exactly. I mean, if they're louder, if they go up to 100 decibels,
then
what are you going to do?
The in-house guy's got to keep it down. You're not going to get up to 70, 75.
When it's a one-fifth full
yeah,
stadium?
There's no way. No.
The things we're talking about.
It's crazy.
But I'll tell you what, it's crazy, but I'm glad that we have the ability to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, you know, what would have happened today. Chiefs and Texans were slated for today. Like, we could have easily been in that position to come on the air and go, you know, well, today would have been the day where that happened. Had the NFL been able to pull it off? Had the NFL and the, I mean, could you imagine if the NFL and the NFL players did not come to a collective bargaining agreement about where the vote went down? And it happened, I think, a week to 10 days before the pandemic was actually named a pandemic. Oh, my gosh. So I guess I'm pleased that we're sitting here saying, well, how's the crowd noise going to work?
Yeah.
You know, and DeForest Buckner, who was on in hour number one, talked about, you know, some teams pumping crowd noise. Hey, DeForest, you're on the Colts now. So ask people about the old RCA Dome that got blown up across the street that's now a parking lot to your new stadium.
By the way, weather could be a factor tonight in Kansas City.
Is that right? What's
going on? We got light rain, a few showers, should be about 35%. Rain at game time, 10-mile-an-hour winds in the mid-50s.
Well, fantasy experts would say it's a perfect night for a Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get things rolling.
Nice Edwards-Helaire debut.
Well, I'm just saying that
yeah.
in the drafts that I've done already, he's top five, top six.
Yeah. The hype on this kid is
it's huge.
It's
monstrous.
It's huge.
Okay. Our poll question, where do things stand currently, hour number two, Chris.
All right, so the poll today, looking at storylines heading into the 2020 season. What's the best? Here are the four we chose. Bucks dream team, Chiefs budding dynasty, Cam's second act with the Patriots, or the Cowboys finally back to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Bucks dream team 41%, Chiefs 26%, Cam 26%. Cowboys, no love, 7%.
Speaking of the Bucks dream team, I think we have a new drop, don't we? Because Tom Brady put out an Instagram chat with him and Rob Gronkowski, and Gronk's laugh can be added to our hall of laughs right here. That's Rob Gronkowski.
That is.
He's
really
ready. I think he's already in. He's in postseason form.
Super creepy.
That's his Musburger. We like that one. That's Larry David. That's Jeff Garland.
And then the goat.
Okay.
I mean, that is the goat laugh. That is the goat laugh.
And then Kawhi doubling down and making fun of himself at the parade, like, even better.
By the way, as the Clippers one game shy of virgin territory for the franchise.
Never been there.
Can you believe that? Never been.
You can't
act like you're
Western
Conference Finals.
You can't.
By the way, if they start showboating, you say, come on, act like you've been there before. Clippers have never been there.
They can act whatever they want.
We seriously, like when Steve Ballmer goes down and does the worm in his hermetically sealed, you know, his plexiglass cabin. Hey, come on, act like you've been there. Or if he acts like he starts dancing around like it's Microsoft 87.
Oh, gosh.
You know, like that fame video?
Yeah.
Hey, act like you've been there before. He really hasn't.
As like I said, as a 20-plus year Clipper fan, like,
it's crazy.
This is unbelievable.
This is great.
And I'm trying to temper my expectations.
He was talking about it at the beginning. He was talking about this.
There it is. There's Kawhi.
Look at that.
Paul George.
I know.
I want them to win.
They have
the whole thing.
Yeah, I do.
I told you they're set up. They have the best player in the NBA today. He plays both ends of the floor. You can't tell. You can't say he's better at one. Can you say this guy who's got a lethal mid-range jumper, lethal, who can make a three as well, who can drive the basket, who can post up,
handle the ball,
he can do all of it on the offensive end. And you could say he's better on the defensive end.
I mean, he will snatch your soul out.
You can say that about Kawhi Leonard.
His hands are so big.
if he is open around the top of the key, free throw line, the dotted line.
It's about 20 feet, 15, 20
from there. From there, that if he is open there, he's making the shot.
That's a wrap.
If you leave him a wide open three, he's making the shot. If you let him run point, he will thread the needle and find either Zubac or either one of the sixth men of the year. Mm-hmm. All of that, he's better defensively.
He's
so
amazing.
You got him, and you got Doc Rivers, who knows how to do it. Mm-hmm. Paul George.
Playoff P.
Showing up.
He had three bad games.
Okay, so I would love to temper it, but it does look like you're getting there. I mean, the Nuggets would have – I mean, this would have to be the most Clipper thing ever.
This would be the Clippers Rockets.
You know
back
why?
In the
this, is where, this is why you know it's not going to happen to the Clippers, because it wasn't a Clipper. It was a Rocket who's potentially about to get suspended because he had a COVID-19 attendant in his hotel room. Now, that would be a Clipper way for the Clipper – thing to blow up. Like, that's the trapdoor you're looking for. No, that's a very Clipper story happening to the Rockets.
A Clipper thing would be Kawhi, like, stepping off of the bus and turning his ankle.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying. Why are you putting that out
there? I'm not putting it out there. That's just stuff that happens.
Hold on a minute. Are you saying that the attendant in the bubble who's helping the Clippers off the bus is Zaza Pachulia? Is that what you're saying?
Let's hope not.
That there's a cast member with a Mickey Mouse name tag. It says, "Hi, my name is Zaza." What from? From what?
Works the Grand Floridian.
I don't know where Pachulia is from. What from Kamchatka? I'm just pulling stuff. Yakutsk. I'm pulling stuff off the risk board.
That's right. They have where they're
from. He's from Georgia.
There you go.
Georgia.
Well,
the country.
The country. Not the state.
Not the state. Or
yeah, no,
Stone Mountain.
DJ. All right, Juan in Los Angeles, take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Juan?
Hey, what's up, Rich? How's it going?
I'm well. Sorry you caught me mid-coffee. I'm having a bad coffee show. But what do you got for me, Juan? What's on your mind?
No, I've seen that, man. No, I just got a basic question, man. I just wanted to know, do you think my Raiders are going to make the playoffs this year? And then also, what do you think is going to have the biggest impact on the team first? And thank you.
I think Henry Ruggs, healthy, is going to be... Can't say Tyreek Hill, but you could.
I mean, Tyreek White, fast.
Tyreek Light, he could be.
They're the same height.
You know, you covet what you see every day, and you see Tyreek Hill twice a year. How about you have your own? You wonder, how do you stop Tyreek Hill, right? How about you get your own? That's one way to do it. You could neutralize instead of stop. How about you get your own?
Can Derek Carr do Mahomes things? Obviously not, but.
You haven't seen it yet. Are they a playoff team? Is what he asked.
I don't think so.
Talk about, as Mayock would, boom or bust, right? Boom or bust, guys. I mean, that's what I would call the Raiders of 2020.
For sure.
I mean, you want to talk about teams that this team is going to make the playoffs, and they may not win their division because the defending champs are in it. They can make the playoffs. Or this team could have trouble at quarterback and not be able to win more than six games.
They have a really tough start to this season. Really tough.
Well, they're at Carolina, and again, they should win a game when you're just comparing rosters. But again, going on the road week one in COVID-19, it's going to be an out-of-body experience for so many teams.
Yeah.
And then you're home for New Orleans. You're at New England, which they should be able to win it. I did go higher.
That was really high.
Damn it, I got busted.
Yep.
Buffalo at Kansas City and bye. Home for Tampa. At Cleveland.
Those four are tough.
I wonder who's going to wear the captain's C that day for Cleveland. That's your first half of the season. So I know Juan calls in for, and everybody calls in for definitive answers, and I give the shrug emoji, but I don't know. That's a team that I just do not know.
Yeah,
If you want to talk about top five teams, if you do not know, that they might be number one. I do not know.
Who else we got?
Edon on line one wants to. Does he want to talk about the New York Jets? Is that what he wants to talk about?
Yeah, of course.
All right, I'm game. What's up? You're on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, Rich, first time, long time.
Where you been?
Uh, I just wanted to talk to you today. You know, I don't want to ruin your day so early.
Why?
I'm a diehard Jets fan.
Let's stop. Let's walk through this. Let's walk through this together. Why are you a diehard Jet fan? Your dad? Your mom?
Ever since I was born, my dad got me into it. There's a picture of me like 2 months old with the Jet shirt on.
How old are you?
I'm 18. I just turned 18.
So 18. So were you wearing like a Ray Lucas onesie? Is that what you were in 18 years ago?
No, it wasn't a jersey. It was just like one of those like fake kid jerseys.
Okay.
Nevertheless.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so I say just going into the season, you know, this is a pretty big season for us. I think for Sam Darnold, this is going to be, I don't know if a make or break year, but, you know, it's something like that. And I just want to see, you know, what you think about, you know, how the Jets are going into the season. I think, you know, one of the more interesting positions is probably wide receiver. We don't have any super huge names, but.
Yeah, define interesting.
You know, what do you think about Mims?
All right, stick with me here, Edom. There's two ways the Jets season can go, right? You choose. The way that they ended last year, where nobody paid attention and they were actually performing well, and Darnold would make some bonehead plays, but then would also make some throws that said that's the reason why the Jets drafted you. Le'Veon Bell actually regains the form of Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers. Frank Gore comes in and provides some veteran stewardship, about 600, 700 yards. And the Jets' offense actually looks pretty darn good with receivers that we really don't know about. Okay? Chris Herndon is a really good tight end, and maybe he can actually perform well, right? Let's just put that out there. And defensively, even with Jamal Adams being traded away and C.J. Mosley opting out, even with all that, Greg Williams is just the right type of bat guano crazy to get this team all fired up. And the Jets win 10 games and have a shot at the playoffs.
We talking playoffs or what?
That's right. We are. Or hold on a minute. Wait for it here. Gase and the Jets have a difficult time grasping for consistency. Darnold does not have the weapons around him to make a proper evaluation. The Jets will have to give him a fifth-year option just because they still believe in him, even though they truly haven't completely evaluated him properly. But maybe he's not going to be banged up because Becton can actually help out. And defensively, they'll just have to rip it down to the studs and start from scratch and do a rebuild, and Gase will be bounced. Which one do you think is more viable, possible?
I would say maybe a mix of those. You know, I the way I look into the season is this: I think that the Jets are going to play better than last year. I don't see a world where we go in and we play actually worse football than we did last year. But the problem is that our schedule this year is pretty tough. I think it's second hardest in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, I guess so. And thanks for the call, man. Hang in there, and let's chat after. Let's call back after like week five, when the Jets visit Buffalo, get San Francisco Colts, and then they visit Denver and get Arizona in their house. If Arizona, 2 years removed from the first overall pick, comes in 2 years after starting from complete scratch with a new coach, comes in and dominates the Jets or beats the Jets in year two of Gase, in year four of Darnold, I'll be beside myself. There's just no other way to describe it. Just beside myself. And then you got to find out in free agency who wants to come to a place where the owner is accused of saying what he said as the as our ambassador to the UK. And that's a fact. And that's spitting truth, which I do here on the show. So
all your receivers are healthy, though. Full participants in practice today, so they're going to be
Go this weekend. They're full go, but I mean, the question is this enough to evaluate Sam Darnold? I mean, we're still evaluating Sam Darnold based off of USC.
He's been playing with a half deck in his career so far.
Kyler Murray in year two has got Larry Fitzgerald, GOAT, first ballot Hall of Famer. Yep. They had DeAndre Hopkins. They drafted Christian Kirk. They've got Kenyon Drake. Why not the Jets? I don't mean to be, you know, all doom and gloom here.
What? Front office.
Well, hopefully they got that guy right.
Yeah. But it's going to take a while.
This is the year you should be poised when Brady's gone, like the Bills, but the Jets aren't. And Peter King thinks the Dolphins are. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Peter King of NBC Sports. Hey, folks, how exciting is this? The football season is finally upon us. And this season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. I have Game Pass from the National Football League every year, and it is a perfect way for me to do my job and also just be a fan. It is amazing. When I say every single part of the football world that you can handle all in one place, it is true. And NFL Game Pass, again, is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. How cool is that? Go to NFL.com/Game Pass. To start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, will be joining us at the top of hour number three. Chris Brockman, news update, my Super Bowl prediction, and more. That will be coming up in hour number three of our program. Texans and Chiefs, and what you say is going to be a chilly Kansas City inclement night, Chris?
I think so.
Chilly and kind of windy.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Well done, Mike.
That's one of our older drops, chilly and kind of windy.
From the beginning.
Good use of the first drop. Was that Randy in Long Island from yesterday?
Yeah.
When he called in? So, talking about the Giants? This is straight up.
Fucking playoffs or what?
I'm using that for everybody.
That drop is number one with a bullet right now for me. Right now, this is great. That's a great one. And then, of course, you know, the Gronk.
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
Go Dallas.
Well, you got the Belichick one. Doesn't even know what a drop is, right? That was one from.
I don't even know what an audio drop is.
That's a good one.
And me every day.
Mike, do your job.
There you go.
I got Bill telling me that every day when I come in.
Mike, do your job.
I'm like a patriot.
We can't do any better than that, right?
Well done.
No.
That's the pinnacle. We should stop the drop game.
Yeah.
Until Randy says, we talk of playoffs or what?
We talking playoffs or what?
It's fantastic.
Then he dropped his Twitter handle. That was amazing.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Our poll question is a great way to start with Peter King, who joins us here. Football Morning in America column, Football Night in America on TV. Our friend from NBC Sports is back here on the show. How are you, Peter?
Rich, how's it going?
I am doing great. We made Good. It here, and we're here. I had a sign for this, obviously. Did you think this was – I mean, how concerned were you that we wouldn't get to this day feeling that COVID-19, at least in facilities, is buttoned up enough to start playing football?
Yeah, I didn't think the question was going to be getting to September 10th. I think the question might be getting to January 10th. But we'll see. I mean, the way that this virus spreads, obviously, is indoors and in crowds of people. And, you know, for the last couple of months, many places, especially if you wear a mask and you're outside, the chances of it spreading are not very big. So, you know, I think now the big question for the NFL, are they going to be as disciplined in the next 3 or 4 months as they have been in the last 6 weeks? That's the question that'll decide whether the season gets played. I think the season will get played, Rich. I question whether every team will play 16 games, and I question whether it will end on February 7 in Tampa instead of maybe February 21st or 28th. We'll see.
Well, is it possible they bubble up in the Tampa-Orlando corridor? Is it possible something like that happens for the playoffs, Peter?
I think anything is possible. But I do think the only way that that would happen is if there are some big problems that surface during the season. As it is right now, I think there would be very little motivation for teams to go into a bubble in January if the virus rates are as low as they have been over the last 6 weeks.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show, and yet we are actually here and able to talk football with a little bit of certainty, certainly about week one, and then because of what we've seen for those test rates, knocking on wood, hoping that we can talk about season-long storyline arcs. And in that regard, Chris, ask the poll question to Peter King to start off our conversation here.
All right, Peter, looking at storylines, what's the best heading into the 2020 season? Bucks dream team, Chiefs budding dynasty, Cam's second act with the Patriots and the Cowboys back to the Super Bowl.
I'd say Bucks number one, Patriots number two, probably Dallas number three. I think the biggest question now is, look, Pro Football Focus had a great stat last week that, and not just last week, they had it in the offseason, that the Patriots receiving core as a whole last year was the worst in the NFL. And what exactly did they do in the offseason to fix that? That's going to be something that Cam Newton is going to, he's going to have to be the rising tide that lifts all boats in New England. And, you know, I just think Brady is just a totally fascinating story, because not only is he one of the greatest, if not the greatest player of all time, he's 43 years old. He's trying to have a second act, and he's trying to have a second act in a place that, you know, as he told me a few weeks ago, this is the first time in 30 years playing football, high school, college, pro, that his head coach was an offensive head coach. So you deal with that aspect, and then you basically say that he's got most likely the best offensive weaponry, top to bottom, you know, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs that he's ever had in the NFL. So as a group, as I wrote the other day, Tom Brady's last 64 games, which is four full seasons, he threw a total of 30 interceptions. So, you know, he's going to be a lot more efficient. And, you know, we'll see if he can last and play great at the age of 43 and sort of defy what everybody thinks that a 43-year-old person can do.
So, I mean, let's linger on this storyline for a little while longer. You know, in one thing that Brady doesn't have, we all know, is the New England system. We understand that. One thing he also doesn't have is a division that was bereft of any serious contenders. The NFC South is a totally different story. Last ride for Drew Brees didn't even make this list. And we know that the Saints are putting many eggs in that Brees basket with what they attempted to do with Jadeveon Clowney. Like, you know, Mickey Loomis thought he was, you know, pulling a Pelicans trade, you know, instead of a Saints trade, was phenomenal. I thought that was really inspired. One way to look at it. What about this division? Who do you have winning it?
I have New Orleans winning it, and I have Tampa being a wild card team. It wouldn't surprise me if that was reversed, but I do think that the fact that the Bucks did not have any time this offseason to really get in the kind of groove that you'd like to be in entering a season, I think that makes it really hard on them to basically hit the ground running. The NFL, I don't think, did them any favors by putting them in New Orleans in week one. I mean, you got to play the game at some point, but maybe the toughest game on your schedule, and you know, on the road, and you're coming right out of the chute with that. You know, the first time that you've basically faced a defense that's going to try to tackle you, so that's going to be rough. But that's one of the big reasons why I picked New Orleans. I think it's going to take a while for Brady. I think they'll win 10 or 11 games, but it's going to be hard for them to, I think, dethrone New Orleans this year.
And then in the AFC East, let's pull on that Cam Patriot, Bill Belichick string here. You don't even have them making the playoffs, Peter.
No, I don't. And I think it's, look, I love the Cam storyline, and I do not doubt for a second that he could quarterback them to a division title. And the reason is that even though some things have changed in the AFC East, the fact is there isn't a super team there. There has not been a super team in the AFC East other than New England for the last two decades. Think about that. There has not been a serious Super Bowl contender in the AFC East for the last 20 years, unless you count the little Jets run that they had, you know, and they had a couple of really good years there with Rex Ryan. But I don't know. Personally, I just never considered them to be a Super Bowl winner in those years when they were a contender. But be that as it may, you know, the Patriots could win that division because even though I picked Miami, Miami has its weaknesses. Buffalo, still, you really don't know. Does anybody really have deep and abiding faith yet in Josh Allen? You know, I don't, even though I think he could end up being a very good quarterback. And, you know, New England, Rich, they're replacing four starting linebackers. I mean, that's, you'd argue all day long that linebackers are really over the years what have been the keystones to when Bill Belichick's got a great team, going all the way back to the Giants in the middle 80s when he was defensive coordinator. What did he have? He had a great linebacker group. And, I mean, they didn't lose two. They didn't lose three. They lost all four. When they lost Dante Hightower, I said, okay, that is a huge difference maker, gone. Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy gone from that group. I mean, I like their young talent a lot, but that's big. And the fact that their receiving group, what did they do in the offseason to help their receiving group? Nothing. So, you know, they did draft a couple of tight ends in the third round, and we'll see how they are. But, you know, I don't know. I think that the Achilles heel over the years, in my opinion, the same for Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years in Green Bay, is that, you know, they're playing for an organization that thinks that the quarterback can make up for you know, some mediocrity in the receiver and tight end rooms. So that we'll see, and maybe the Patriots can. We'll see.
And in terms of Van Noy, he and Byron Jones are now in Miami, and they had a very nice spending spree back in March that yep. might lead you to your thoughts about Miami and how they finished in Brian Flores. But for a team to make the playoffs, as you know, in this quarterback-driven league, they've got to get some consistent quality play from that position. How do you see the Fitzpatrick Tua quarterback scenario playing out for this team to make the playoffs and win the division, Peter?
That's a great question, Rich. I mean, it's an absolute mystery what's going to happen at quarterback with that team. And I don't know what's going to happen. I really like Ryan Fitzpatrick as a mentoring type, at least for this 1 year. But you've got to think Tua's going to play at least half the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Nobody knows it. Maybe Fitzpatrick will have a Tannehill type of resurgent year in Miami. I don't know. It's just totally unpredictable. But I do think their quarterback play is going to be good enough for them to win, let's say, 10 games and win a jumbled division.
You have the Lions making it too, right? You're on the Lions.
I got the Lions and the Raiders. I had to be. Okay. I had to pick. Look, every year, you know how it is, Rich, in the NFL. Every year, you look at the teams that make the playoffs and the teams that don't. And if you had looked at it on Labor Day weekend, you would say, "How did that happen?" Well, I mean, a sentence on each of the Lions and the Raiders. mean, the Lions last year at midseason were fourth in the NFL in total offense. And then Stafford got hurt, and then they were awful on offense. So, you know, I think that Stafford, if he's healthy, and there's no lock on that, but if he's healthy, I think they're going to be an explosive offensive team. And the Raiders, I mean, Mike Mayock, Rich, you and I are, you're not quite old enough, but being a student of football history, you remember the old college all-star game.
Sure.
And the college all-star game used to be in the early 60s, mid-60s, you know, the world champion in the NFL would play the best players in college football in an exhibition game. And that is what Mike Mayock has drafted with the Raiders. He's drafted the best that Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, the SEC, he's drafted the best that they all have to offer over the last 2 years. So let's see how that pans out. And I think Ruggs and Renfrow, in my opinion, that's a fantastic couple of building blocks.
I agree.
Long-term for a receiving core.
I mean, Mayock's crushed it in the draft so far, as we know how it was last year, and I'm just assuming that Ruggs and the kid Arnett from the Ohio State, we're looking at the screen right now, that these are guys that are just going to perform as well as previous year. Jonathan Abram, who we all know played one and then was done, we expect to see him back. I just don't know about the Raiders. They're one of those emoji shrugs for me, and you've got them.
I agree.
You know, but you've got them making the playoffs, which is totally feasible.
They could win 6. They could win 10.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
Now, interestingly enough, let's keep a couple more minutes here with Peter King. You have the Cowboys as the top seed in the NFC and not making the championship game, which means they get one and done in the playoffs after being a one seed. That would be a crusher. Another example of the Cowboys being a touch fugazi and giving their fans an exciting year. What do you think, Peter, about this season?
Well, when I sat down and tried to figure out sort of where everybody landed in the playoffs and winning divisions, I looked at the Cowboys and I thought, this is the team that, if you look at their path to the one seed, look at everybody's path to the one seed, it's got to start with an advantageous division schedule. And when you think about the Cowboys in the division, I mean, in my opinion, I'd be surprised if they don't go 4-0 against Washington and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you say that you would be surprised? Let's say New Orleans. Do you think New Orleans will go 4-0 against Atlanta and Carolina? Maybe, but I think Dallas is much more likely to run the table against the two weak sisters in the East than anybody else in the NFC. I think San Francisco is going 4-0 against the Rams and the Cardinals. I don't think so. They might, but it's going to be a lot harder, I think, than for Dallas to go 4-0 against those two teams. So you start there, and then you just say, you look at how explosive they're going to be on offense. And Rich, I think the real under-the-radar position group in the NFL this year is the Dallas defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm not even counting Dontari Poe in here because I'm not positive what he has left. But, and, you know, you can't count on Aldon Smith, but everything that you've heard in the offseason is that Aldon Smith has really got his head back together. And if he does, this is the guy who on Monday Night Football 8 years ago had 5.5 sacks against the Bears. And again, that was 8 years ago, so that's a lifetime in football. I don't know what's going to happen, but even if he's just a rotational piece for 250 snaps, Everson Griffin and DeMarcus Lawrence – as your bookend guys, and occasionally you sub in Aldon Smith, I don't know. I think they could be every bit as good as San Francisco in rushing the passer this year.
And yet neither of those teams are in your NFC championship game. You do have...
No, I had to fix it to get the Bucks there.
Sure, I know. Because that's your Super Bowl winner, correct?
Yeah. I wanted to get the Bucks in there because, Rich, the way I look at it every year is that, you know, I like to take one or two chances when I make these picks every year.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the biggest chance I take this year is Tampa. But, you know, I look at it and I say that, is it impossible? We've seen Tom Brady go on the road in the playoffs and win in some unlikely venues a long time ago in Pittsburgh and more recently in Kansas City. I doubt that the road is going to vex him very much. The biggest thing in picking the Bucks is that Brady and Gronk are the only guys who've been there. You know, and Jason Pierre-Paul a little bit, but they don't have much January experience in Tampa. They haven't made the playoffs since Neanderthal man roamed the earth. So I agree. It is a long shot, but I just think sometimes teams get hot at the right time, and I think the Bucks are going to get hot and run the table.
And then beating the Ravens. That's your Super Bowl 55 prediction.
Yeah, the one narrative that is, and it's not going to go away until he plays well in January, but
yeah, no.
Lamar Jackson, it's arguable that his two worst starts or two of his worst three or four in the last 2 years have been in January both at home in the playoffs, and he's got to play better. But I just think two games do not a trend make. And in my opinion, I think that if it's possible, they might even be better running the ball this year, even without the quarterback running it as much. I do think that even though they say, hey, we're not changing and we're playing the way we play, and if they do, hey, good for them. But I doubt Lamar Jackson getting hit as much as he got hit last year is going to be a really good football player at age 38, the way all these quarterbacks now are. You know, because I don't know if you can take that kind of punishment running it 100, 130 times a year the way Lamar Jackson, and they say they're not changing. And hey, they're smarter football people than I am, but I don't know how you really last 15 years or so in the NFL at a high level running the ball that much if you're a quarterback.
And I could go on all day, but I do have one last one for you, Peter, because I'm getting asked the question, because I did, like you, take Seattle to win the division in the NFC West, and then I do have the Chiefs winning their division, but not making the Super Bowl like you. So what are your scenarios as to why neither of these teams could make it back? How does that work?
With Kansas City, you know, the last 15 Super Bowl champions have not won the Super Bowl the next year. And, you know, I asked Andy Reid in training camp, you know, man, you got 20 of 22 starters back. You got 20 of 21 coaches back. This is one of the greatest pieces of continuity that of a champion in NFL history. And one of the first things he said to me was, listen, we're behind in all three playoff games. I mean, you saw it. They were behind by 24 to Houston, 10 to Tennessee, and 10 with 8 minutes left to San Francisco. So I think they're a really good team. And maybe this is the start of a dynasty. They certainly have the quarterback for it. But, you know, they're from the show me state, and they'll have to show me on that one. Something happens. I can't tell you what it is, but something happens every year to the champion. As far as San Francisco goes, look, I would not be remotely surprised if the 49ers had a 13-3 type year and got the top seed and were fantastic again. But if that happens, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a much better September, October, November than he had January last year. And January and early February. And again, at this moment, I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. But, you know, Seattle doesn't have nearly the defense that San Francisco has. So Russell Wilson is going to have to play and win some high-scoring games for our projections, you and I,
yes, sir,
for Seattle to win that division to come through.
Peter, great chat as always. Happy opening day to you. Look for more of my phone calls. I'd love to have you on and far more regular than last couple weeks.
Anytime, Rich. And Rich, how weird will it be for you Sunday to do highlights and there not be many or any fans at these games?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
It's
going
to be pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we did the season preview show on Tuesday. Cynthia Freeland and I are the only ones in studio and everyone else is at home. And it's just weird. It's awkward. It's weird and a little bit depressing, to be honest with you. In this day and age, we are still very fortunate to be able to talk football and do what we do. And if this is what we have to do to make sure that we put it together, then we're going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting. Jimmy Johnson is staying home this year, I guess, huh?
Well, everyone's going to have to make their own decisions. But I will say this, though, I'm not just saying it because, you know, obviously I've worked for them forever. But the protocols set up in the NFL Network I'm not concerned. I really am not. I think everyone's doing, we're doubling up, tripling up, being safe. And everybody's doing the smart thing, and you know, we'll just all get through it, and then on the back end, we'll look back at this season and hope it goes without a hitch. Truly.
Yeah.
Hope
you're
well.
All the best to you. Thanks for
having
me.
Right back at you, Peter. We'll chat next week. That's Peter King right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, lots to unpack from Peter. We'll take a break so we can come back and take more of your phone calls. That's next, and our own Super Bowl predictions coming up. Les Snead, general manager of the Rams. That's how we're rolling here.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com. Welcome back to our Thursday show. I could talk all day with Peter King right there, right?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, he's just so we hit on, what would you say, about a quarter of the league? That's about it. Didn't even talk about Green Bay and their possibility of going 13-3 again, or what happened last year and how they can repeat. Didn't even touch upon the AFC South. We talked about the Ravens. Let me see. Does he have the Steelers making the playoffs? Let me see. I have his picks right here. He doesn't even have the Steelers making it. I disagree with that.
That seems.
Yeah, that's.
Well, like Peter said, he kind of had to go out on a limb. That's why he took the Raiders.
I think he took Miami to win. I find that one seems to be a far fetched. For me, Bills would be in, and so would the Patriots. But he has Vegas instead of the Steelers.
Yeah.
That's big. Texans Chiefs tonight, everybody, 7 Eastern time. A lot of food for thought from Peter King right there. A lot of food for thought. And, you know, the concept again that the Chiefs themselves, Andy Reid said, hey, we were down double digits in all 3 of our playoff games.
Fair point.
So the margin of being super and home early is so razor thin. And for the 49ers, the difference between being super and potentially home early, you could make the case that how razor thin, whatever it was
between
the goal line in Seattle in game 256 on NBC with Al and Chris calling it, the difference between the goal line and where Jacob Hollister was clutching the ball.
Oh, I was going to say Jimmy G's pass again, and Emmanuel Sanders. Once again,
just to
arms.
Repeat it, it didn't get in the end zone. San Francisco was a 1 seed. Green Bay was a 2 seed. The Saints were a 3 seed. And the Seahawks were a 5 seed. Okay? The Vikings were a 6 seed, visited the Saints, won and done them. The Eagles get beat by the Seahawks, right? Instead, had that been the other way around, the 49ers would have to go on the road. The Packers would have been the 1 seed. The Saints would have been a 2 seed and wouldn't have seen Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in their house the next week. They'd have been home, waiting to see who would come visit them in the second week of the playoffs. It's just amazing. Again, and that's the difference. Why some people are like, why would Seattle win the division, Rich? You thought the 49ers had the best offseason of the entire league. That's true. But you just heard what Peter had to say. Garoppolo, Russell Wilson. I think, you know.
I think it's obvious.
Right. Okay. That's
as
part
much
of
as
the
we
reason.
Love Jimmy G.
And even just, with everything that happened for the 49ers last year, they're that shy of not winning the division.
Rich, I've heard somewhere it's a game of inches.
I know. And
I know.
I do want to get Gene Steratore's index card. I do want to say this is San Francisco is getting set to open up against Arizona. The scenes in Northern California of all the smoke and the fires and the orange sky. This is real, folks. This is real. My mom lives in Walnut Creek in the East Bay, okay? You know, east of that. She can't go outside. Today, when we walked outside here in Southern California, I thought I was walking into a fireplace. It just reeks of smoke. We're wiping
ash
from our cars. And we're also wondering, are we next for all of these fires that are happening here? Climate change, or one would say radical climate, is real. I do want to say that, and I want to thank all of the first responders that are out there fighting a record amount of blazes that could potentially, in the world of our sports bubble, delay the 49ers and the Cardinals. We don't know. I know we're getting callers saying, how's the air quality going to affect that? I have no idea. Right now, it's Thursday. That game's not till Sunday. I'm hoping some of these fires up in Northern California can be contained. I don't know. All I know is that the sky here, the sun looks orange.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kyle in Los Angeles. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, man, I got to say, as a dude who's got a receding hairline, like you and your Game of Thrones beard, you're a huge inspiration to us.
I appreciate that, sir. You know what? I'm just going to I'm going to live with what I've got. I'm going to try and hope for the best. And take it one follicle at a time.
No, man, you look awesome. Hey, what do you think about my Rams and their receiving core? I know we got a good tight end, but everybody is like giving Goff a bunch of crap right now because he, you know, deals with McVay in his ear all the time. But what do you think about our receiving core? I'm worried about Kyler Murray, but what do you think?
I think you're going to see a lot of tight end action. I'll ask that directly of Les Snead. I think you're going to see a lot of tight end action. That's what I think. Higby. You know, Kopp and Woods are still there. Right. I mean,
well, that new guy, right? Van Jefferson.
You know, I'm wondering about the running back by committee, if you will, what that's going to look like. And Goff's just got to be more accurate. The number of times where he'll have that open receiver, and then all of a sudden, and then he'll spiral in one that looks like Manning to Manningham in the Super Bowl. I mean, Goff throws a beautiful ball, man.
He does.
He really does.
He does. He's got such a good arm, but he just he flinches, and I just I don't know a better word for it, but flinching.
I guess, you know what, from the Stand By Me era, you get two for that. I know that. So thanks for the call, Kyle, and thanks for the compliment. I'm sitting up taller in my seat because I'm an inspiration to follically challenged men everywhere, including Kyle in Los Angeles. Aaron Donald on the front end, Jalen Ramsey in the back end. We're going to get a full season of that. And they love their new defensive coordinator, from what I'm hearing. And McVay is still Sean McVay. Turned down Monday Night Football, apparently, to still be Sean McVay here in Los Angeles. You didn't read about that?
No.
Yeah. Ooh. They lost Gruden, so they try to get a guy who sounds just like him. Les Snead, general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. You at 844-204-RICH. My Super Bowl predictions. And Brockman and TJ's. Sorry, I didn't mean to set it up like that.
Thanks. I know I'm low on the totem pole.
You're not, sir. You're not at all.
I may even give a
You're
comment.
Riding high. Out of all of us here, you literally are riding here higher than anybody else.
Yeah. I may even give mine.
Your Clippers are going to the Western Conference Finals. Your Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, your Sixers are in the toilet. And so are the Mets. But, you know, can't have it all. Hour three coming up.
Hey, it is Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, among other NFL-related podcasts, the former NFL offensive lineman, and yes, we are going to have an NFL season. It is here, thankfully. So, if you want to bet on the games, it is the Even Money Podcast. If you just want to play fantasy football, Fantasy Feast Podcast, or every day your NFL fix, the aforementioned Ross Tucker Football Podcast.